We gather together as God's people, both in this room and together online. We celebrate the good news that is spoken to our troubled souls that tells us that we are no longer slaves to our sin. We're no longer slaves to worry, to doubt, to fear. We're no longer slaves to addiction, but we have been freed by the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's why we celebrate this morning, amen? We've seen together over the last few weeks in our sermon series entitled Seek First, that as we seek Jesus and his kingdom above all, that we are freed from worry and that we are empowered to face anxiety when it comes our way. We've also seen that as we seek God's kingdom, we're given the treasure of heaven. And this morning as we gather and we bring this sermon series to a close, that when we seek God first, we gain a life that's built to last. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, as we gather together on this Lord's Day, we pray that you would speak to our weary souls. Lord, there's so much that is going on in this world, so many things that are rattling our souls. Lord, we come to you with it because we know that you listen to us and that you care for us and that you want us to come to you and to share what we have with you so that you can share what you have with us, which is peace, which is mercy, which is grace. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come in this place. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come into every home of every member and person that is watching us online, that you would meet us as we hear your word speaking to us this day. And we pray this in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. My name is Timothy. I'm the Kingdom Platform pastor here. So good to see you this morning. As I want to ask that you, if you have your Bibles, to open up to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be reading verses 24 through 29. Hear now the word of God. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teachings, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. These words I read to you this morning are the closing words of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that are written for us in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And I want you to notice how Matthew ends this account of Jesus' teaching. He ends with the reaction of the crowds that were listening to Jesus on that day. And what was their response? They were astonished. They were amazed. They were perplexed. Now, why was that the reaction to Jesus' words? It was because Jesus was perceived as being an untrained man, a carpenter, but yet he spoke with authority, much more so than the power that was in the scribes, the religious leaders of the day. You see, Jesus, through the words of the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, is ushering in his kingdom. And his kingdom comes upon the foundation of the words that he speaks to us. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you astonished by Jesus? Has his teachings captured your imagination? Has his love captured your soul? Has his rule and reign not only changed the course of your life, but is it continuing to do so? If it has, then you're seeking the kingdom of God first in your life. And in this passage this morning, Jesus talks about two houses that is laid upon two different foundations. The first is a house that's built upon a rock. You see, it's a house that's built to last. It is built to withstand and stand in the storms of life. But the other house is not built upon the rock. It's built upon sand. It is a house that is built in haste. And it is a house that will come crashing down hard when the storms of life come. Now, at first glance, it seems that Jesus is talking about two different houses that are built in two different locations. And for some reason, when I heard this passage preached when I was a kid, I always had the thought of one being built like in the mountains, fortified by the mountain, and the other on the sand, and that just didn't make sense. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. This is two different houses that is built at the exact same location. Now, when you think of sand, you think as a person who lives in beautiful South Florida, right? You think of the golden quartz crystal sand of our beaches. And you would say, no one should build a house here. But Jesus is not talking to Floridians on this day. He's talking to Israelites who lived in Israel. He's talking to people who are from the area of Galilee. And their sand is not like our sand. Their sand in the summertime where Jesus is preaching, when the sun would beat on it, and during the summertime, not like our time, during the summertime there, they did not get rain. And as a result, the sand on the shores of Galilee would harden and almost be like concrete. So people in those days who desire to build a temporary shelter could build upon this sand because it's like concrete. But the issue was that when the summer came and went and the winter came with its windstorms and its rainstorms and the rain would fill up the river called Jordan and the banks would overflow and flood the shore, this concrete sand would become unstable. And so Jesus says that if you build your life upon a sand that from the surface temporarily seems like it can uphold your life, you're going to be sorely disappointed when the storms of life come, because Jesus tells us the storms always come. But Luke says, the man next door to that foolish man built his house upon the sand as well. But Luke gives us more information. It wasn't just the sand that he saw, but the man dug down deep. Now, unlike our beaches, that when you just dig down, when you're building a sandcastle, you just dig down 1 foot, what happens? It's just all water. Right, because we sit so low to the water level, but in Jerusalem, in Galilee, if you were dig down deep, you would find a strong bedrock. And so the wise man did the hard work of Luke saying, digging down deep, as he says in Luke 6, the 48th verse, the wise man dug down deep. Jesus says, that when we, not just being hearers of his word, but actually being obedient to them, we dig down deep as well. And we lay for ourselves a sure foundation on the solid rock that can withstand all of life's storms. And this is the main point of the parable. Jesus is calling us, as we seek first his kingdom, to be biblically anchored. Jesus is the rock as he describes it. And as he refers to it, his rock are these words of mine. Build your life on his words and you will withstand any storm. That's the promise for people who seek first Jesus' kingdom above their own. But build your life on anything else but the words of Jesus, and your house will be revealed to be a house of cards. It will collapse quickly and completely, as Matthew says, great was its fall. But Jesus is inviting us not to be foolish builders, but to be a wise builder. A wise builder that lives in the moment, but that prepares for the future. And reject a way of living that is only for the moment, only for themselves, only for the quick work, for the easy work, only pursuing the pleasures of life and not digging down deep to be built upon a foundation that would never be shaken. You see, when we seek first Jesus' kingdom above all, we are prepared for whatever might come our way because we're built upon Jesus. And when we build our lives upon him and upon his kingdom that is eternal, that is all powerful, that has all authority both in heaven and on earth, and because all these things are given to him, and because we are citizens of this kingdom, we are secure. And that's the good news we need to hear today. That you are secure in the hands of your Creator. That there's nothing that this world can throw at us. There's no amount of brokenness. There's no amount of sickness that can separate you from the love of God. You see, we are biblically anchored. And when we're biblically anchored, we become grace-centered and open-handed, and all this leads to us becoming kingdom-focused. And this is the kingdom focus that Jesus is calling us to live by. When we understand that seeking his kingdom first above all, it gives us the energy and the strength to seek the welfare of others. You see, my life is not about my good and my flourishing. It is about the glory of God. And when I seek the glory of God, God promises a life of flourishing. But that life of flourishing causes me to turn my life outward and seek the flourishing of those people around me. When you start to look at life like that, God is going to give you some amazing opportunities, some life-giving opportunities to help people who are in need. But the question is, are we willing to dig down deep? And to build our life upon the foundation of Jesus Christ? Or are we satisfied with an easy life? A life that seeks my flourishing over the flourishing of others. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a young German pastor during the Nazi regime. And he had an opportunity to get out before things got really bad in his home country. And he fled to New York. And he had a cushy job teaching theology in a seminary in Manhattan. And his friends, his American friends, were so happy that he got out because everyone saw the writing on the wall. Everyone saw the storm that was approaching. But as Dietrich was living in comfort under the freedoms afforded to him by this country, he felt a call to go back to his homeland, a call to lead his people who were under the hand of Hitler. Now listen to the words of Dietrich that he wrote in his book, Life Together, a book that is written on the power of Christian community, even in the midst of a storm. He writes to Christians living in Nazi Germany. He tells them, we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. Now, I think he's speaking a little tongue-in-cheek here. Allow ourselves to be interrupted. You see, when you seek your kingdom first, when God speaks to you, when God calls you out of yourself into further obedience, when God calls you to obey his word even when it is difficult, we don't look at it as a call many times. You look at it as an interruption. But God is patient. And his call on our lives is secure, so he continues to call. He continues to interrupt. And Dietrich says, God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling our plans. We know a little bit about something this week, about that. Having our plans canceled. And how will God cross our paths? How will God cancel our plans? By sending us people with claims and petitions. You see, God is saying, I am the creator and orchestrator of your life. And I've designed you for my glory and for other people's good. You see, people, we're facing a storm as a nation this week. And we have the choice to make. Are we going to live in fear? Because now we're feeling the anxiety of scarcity. As Brian mentioned, we go to the stores and the things that we want, the things that we need are not on the shelves. Are we going to allow that to dominate us? Are we going to stay glued to TV and just be hanging on the edge of our seats, waiting for it to get worse and worse and worse? Or are we going to open up our heart? Are we going to open up our lives? Are we going to be willing to go across the street to our neighbor's house and check up on them and say, are you okay? Do you have what you need? Do you need toilet paper? Who would have ever thought that the hottest commodity in the United States of America would be toilet paper? But that is because we're responding in fear. And fear does crazy things to us. It rattles us. But when our life is built upon the solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can reject those negative words. We can reject the rhetoric of fear, and we can be assured that we are safe and sound in the hands of our Creator, who loves us and will provide us. And He's calling us and asking us the question, will we be faithfully present in the midst of the storm, or will we be noticeably absent? We have a choice to make. You see, our city needs us to be faithfully present in this hour. Yeah, I can't change the world, but I can change the world for one person, my neighbor. I can think about the elderly person who is two doors down from me, who I don't have a lot of time to interact because I barely see her. But I can spend my Sunday afternoon, I can turn off the TV, I can stop checking my feed, I can put that away, and just walk over to her house and knock on the door and say, hey, I know we don't know each other well, but I know this is pretty, stuff is getting pretty crazy. Are you okay? Just those words of someone checking up on them lowers the anxiety level just one degree. Do you need me to run to the store and get anything from you? This is what it looks like to be faithfully present in this time of crisis, and this is what our world needs. But this will only happen if we lead the way. We Christians lead the way. Will we reduce the levels of fear and anxiety and increase levels of faith? Will we call people to reorient themselves, not on self-protection, but on serving others? You see, we're living in an unprecedented opportunity. We have an unprecedented opportunity to both witness and serve as we stand on our kingdom platform. And it could be expressed through simple acts of kindness. Earlier this week in the office, I was talking to one of our staff members, and we were just talking about how crazy it's getting and how we're stacking up on stuff. And she said she was at a local grocery store, and she was able to find 4 bottles of the brand of hand soap that she normally buys. And she was relieved because she wasn't expecting it to be there. So as she's picking up the bottles and putting it into her cart, she makes eye contact to a lady who turns the corner of the aisle. And then they had the stare down. It was like a scene from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. A tumbleweed rolled down aisle 7 in Walmart. It was a standoff. And she saw the lady who just got there, who was frantic, and saw that the last 4 bottles of hand soap wasn't on the shelf anymore, but was in this person's possession. Now, she had a choice to make. Am I going to turn a blind eye and go about my business and be about self-preservation? Or can two bottles be enough for my family? And the decision she made was, it's better for me to ease the anxiety and to share and to self-sacrifice, as it were. Even it's just a simple thing as hand soap. She walked over to the ladies, she gave her two bottles, and the ladies' fear turned to happiness. And she said, thank you. Thank you. You see, this is what it means to be faithfully present. And this is what our people need. They need, our neighbors need for us to share our resources and to share our concern. And our neighbors need us to pray. We need to pray that God would use this crisis to draw people into the kingdom. Brian mentioned earlier that this is how the early church grew and multiplied in such a large rate. One sociologist named Ronnie Stark, in his book called The Rise of Christianity, wrote and said that the Roman Empire was ransacked many times by plagues, and it ran through their cities. But during that time, the Christians stayed, while everyone else who had the understanding and the power and the resources fled the city. But the Christians stayed and ministered to those people who couldn't flee. The Christians were the one who stayed and ministered, because back then there were no hospitals. You relied upon your family and you relied upon your community, and the Christians stepped up. Now, if you were there during that age, and you were an unbeliever, and you were scared because you didn't know if you were going to make it today. You didn't know if your family was going to make it through the week. But yet, someone knocks on your door and said, do you have enough water? Do you not have enough food? How can I care for you? How can I be there for you? Can I pray for you? Now, the question is, after the plague passed, where would you go to worship? To the pagan temple, who those priests fled and their wealthy benefactors fled the cities? Or would you go and worship in the house next door to you, that person who came to you in your need and ministered to you? Will we be faithfully present in this hour of need, or will we be noticeably absent? When this crisis passes, and it will pass, what will our neighbors remember of us? Will they remember that Christians took immediate, decisive action to protect the vulnerable, even at great personal cost? Will they remember that we, being prepared and free of panic, took care of our community and provided for our community's needs and were bringers of hope? It has been said that a star shines brightest in the darkest of nights. So it's time for us to shine bright. It's time for us to be faithfully present. I want to share a story with you about a man who has been faithfully present in one of the darkest places in our county, and that's the Palm Beach Correctional Facility. Juan Carlos, a member of our church, for the last 13 years have been faithfully present in the lives of inmates. Juan Carlos takes the sermon that is preached here on the stage and translates it by himself into Spanish, and then goes twice a month and preaches that message again and leads a worship service for the inmates who are there. Let's hear a beautiful story of Juan Carlos, who is stepping up on his kingdom platform, being faithfully present. Let's watch the screen.
And my name is Juan Carlos Lasarte, and I'm a craftsman, and I do custom furniture and window treatment for designers and any customers they walk in. One day I was in the service, and they announced they need people to go in the jail, and I signed up, and they called me, and they told me they need somebody to go there, and I start walking with them every Tuesday. When you serve in the jail ministry, you meet a lot of kind of people, like even people who are broken or people who are really looking to change life and become a believers. because they need a lot of help. One of the biggest experience and challenges I have in the jail ministry is like this example. I have an experience with a guy, his name was Angel, and he was fighting with me all the time and arguing with me about the faith because he became a Muslim. And one time he requested for me to be one-on-one with him, and I was afraid because he was like 380 pounds and 6'10 inches high. And anyway, I prayed the Lord and I said, give me the strength and give me the courage to go and talk to this guy and still keep in sharing the gospel. Angel show up, and one of the things he was telling me, he want to share with me, he is going to be on death row. And I said, okay, what happened? And he told me, I was sleeping 2 weeks ago, and God wake me up, and he told me, read this chapter in the Bible. And I read that chapter, and suddenly I feel the Holy Spirit came to my life, and I bent my knees, and I surrendered to him. Since that day, I feel something is different in my life, and I know, and I recognize all the things you were telling me. It was true, and now I'm going to this experience in my life. I don't know if that's gonna happen or God gonna save me, but I have so much peace in my heart, and I'm ready to go with the Lord. What really amazed me is how God used me to share with this guy, like over 300 pounds, over 6 feet high, against this guy's 5 feet, 5 inches, working in the furniture business. And what amazes me is how, if God can use me, he can use anybody.
That's what God does when we seek his kingdom first. We start to become faithfully present. We start entering the storms that other people face. The two houses are right next to each other. It was the same storm that was beating on both houses. But when our house is built upon a rock, upon the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be empowered to reach those people whose homes are falling apart, whose lives are falling apart, people who have built their lives upon the sand. We can reach out to them with a message of hope, saying that God can bring renewal. You see, the reason why we can do that, the reason why we can be faithfully present is because Jesus was faithfully present in the storm of our lives. You see, our sin has taken us away from God and has drawn us away from his goodness and from his love. But because of his love, the Lord Jesus Christ came to us in our time of need. And it was upon his shoulders that the wrath, the storm of God, fell upon him. And the storm that should have ended me ended Jesus on that cross. Because my sin, which brings about death, through Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus turned the storm on his head and gave me life. And because Jesus resurrected on the third day, he gives us hope. He gives us strength. And he empowers us to dig down deep, to lay our lives upon his sure foundation, and so that we can have hope when the storms of life come. If you've never placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you feel far from God, but you hear the words of his Holy Spirit drawing you near, don't turn away, but open up your hearts, open up your hands with faith, and believe. Believe that Jesus can do all that he says he can do, and that he has done all that he has promised that he has done, by securing salvation for you and by welcoming you into the family of God. If that's you today, I'm going to ask that you would join me in prayer and that we would give our lives to Jesus because he first gave his life for us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks. We honor you this morning because you have spoken a good word to us. You have given us hope. You have given us a new perspective. You have cleaned us off. You have washed away our sin, and then you have clothed us in your righteousness. And you have filled your Spirit in us and has given us newness of life. And so now we stand bold. We stand being willing to go where other people flee. We ask that you would give us the strength to be faithfully present in the lives of our neighbors in this trying time, that we may reflect your love and goodness and mercy to those people who need it. And by small acts of kindness, we can point to the greatest act of love and kindness. God giving his Son for the salvation of the world. And it is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand and let us worship God.